Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare. All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
Hi.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Diana. And we've switched seats.
We have. We're trying this out to see if it works better.
Yeah.
But Diana's taller than I am, so she might
be bapping the flower.
The pink poofy cloud.
That's me with a pink poofy cloud on my head.
I'll try and take it out if I can, but you know, whatever.
Which if you see our TikTok, you'll know what the fuck we mean.
Yeah. So go look at our TikTok so you can see the pink poofy cloud. Also, so you know, it's brutal in New York today. And so the interior door of the booth is open. The exterior booth is closed. So you may hear dog barking, sirens, whatever. And I don't care.
I don't care. You may even hear us sweating later.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Like the lustful in hell.
Now we're going to talk more about the circles of hell in this scene.
We are, because, you know, it's not only F. Shakespeare, it's F. Dante.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Dante tried to pretend like he was punishing all those things, but come on. He enjoyed all those descriptions.
All those things.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Especially the lustful. He pardons them. I mean, he punishes them the least. They're at the top.
Yeah.
And they don't get, like, poked by demons and,
no,
you know,
they just can never touch their love again.
Yeah, which sucks. And being blown around. But, you know, after a while, maybe it's pleasant.
You just get used to it. It's like sailing.
The ultimate big blowjob.
Oh, dear.
So, I told you last week that I would look about the word incest and where it appears in the play as a whole and in the scene. So, it appears almost halfway through this scene. And this scene, except for Act 5, which is this huge conflagration of so many things happening, and it's all smacked into one scene, which makes it 517 lines or some shit, this would be the longest scene in the play. And I always told my students that the longest scene in the play is really a blueprint for the whole play at once. And it gives you the information that is really at the crux of the action. So if that holds true, and it's not Act 5, which is really the wrap-up, right?
Right.
Then this scene between Claudio and Isabella and what comes of that is really at the heart of the whole play. So the word incest comes halfway through this scene, and it comes almost halfway through the play. There's 1,208 lines before this word and 1,367 lines after, for you nerds out there.
Right. I mean, it doesn't seem that it's an accident. Just saying.
Yeah. So we can decide when we get to that speech, because it's really interesting to surmise what the backstory is between Isabella and Claudio, and then also, by implication, between Isabella and her father, because she talks about him and compares him to Claudio. Mm-hmm. Favorably, unfavorably, we'll see. This scene could have an entire, you know, master's thesis.
Well, there you go. Ding, ding, ding. Writing your master's thesis on Shakespeare, have a look at this scene.
Yes. Some good fodder here.
Yeah.
And then you'll notice.
Also, I'm sorry to interrupt. We were at a party this past weekend, and there was conversation. I mean, you were saying something to someone about the fact that we were doing Measure for Measure, and we had this little moment where we were like, yeah, it's really the death of comedy. He never writes another comedy after the comedy,
yeah,
in quotes.
Yeah, comedy in quotes. I mean,
after
Tempest,
this,
they call it a comedy.
Well, it's more
not
a romance.
So fun.
It's a romance. It's
right.
Not a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like some, Winter's
Tale.
There's
comedic bits.
Yeah. Well, that's everything. Everything he writes from this moment on has comedic bits, but none of it is like light and fluffy anymore.
Yeah.
This is like the turning point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, far from being light and fluffy, there's a lot of rapey things and, you know, very uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and then the other thing is we will discover that this scene is also half and half in another interesting way, in that the first half of it is in verse between Isabella and her brother. And then the second half of it is entirely in prose because everyone is uncomfortable after the word incest. That's what I've decided.
That's Diana's thesis.
And I'm sticking to it. Yeah. So we'll see. But
so I have a question because I can't remember. The friar, in quotes,
yes.
The Duke, when he's speaking as the friar, is he speaking mostly in verse or mostly in prose?
No, I mean, half and half. Because
no, I mean in the rest of the play.
No, I think he speaks in prose and he speaks in verse both. He even speaks in magic speak. At one point, he speaks in whatever that 70 thing is called.
Trochaic verse. We call it magic speak.
Magic speak.
That's good.
Yeah. And so he's all over the map.
Okay. That's interesting.
Just like his character is.
That's interesting. I mean, I wonder about Shakespeare's thoughts about why he... Well, we talk about how Caliban speaks in verse, even though he's considered a lowly creature, but he's noble of nature.
Yeah.
And so maybe, I don't know, maybe the Duke has noble moments, or maybe he's perceived as noble, but he's not.
Or where he's speaking from his wisdom and his nobility, you know, in certain ways, like when he's speaking about legal matters. And in the first half of this scene, you'll see he has a whole speech about what death is to Claudio. And his intention is to help him prepare to die because he's heard about, you know, what his sentence is and everything.
But wait a second. How fucked
yes,
up
I know.
Is that?
Why he couldn't just pardon him, right? Step in and go, okay, this is too much.
I mean, yes, he could have pardoned him, but I wasn't even going there. Who the fuck does the Duke think he is that he can... He's not... So Claudio, were he to die, would die thinking that his soul was saved.
Right,
but the Duke can't save his soul because the Duke is not a friar and doesn't have the ability to do that. So Claudio would be damned to hell.
Yeah, because he didn't get a proper last rites. Right? Yeah.
I mean, if you believe that shit, that's so awful.
So mean. So mean.
Why would he do that? Why would he damn him to hell?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
It's cruel.
It's terrible. Oh my God! See, sadist.
Sadist. Yeah.
Sadist.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So as problematic as he is, I think it's fascinating to see what he says and what he doesn't say and in what context.
Yeah.
Then we're going to finally hear about Mariana, who is a character that we don't actually meet until Act 4. So we've got a while before we see her, having just started at Act 3. But she is a woman who was previously engaged to Angelo years before, and they had a contract, they did all the right things, they were supposed to get married, and then her dowry literally went down with the ship.
Right. Her brother was coming back on a ship with her dowry on board, and the ship went down, so she lost her brother and her dowry.
Yeah, but I wonder, too, like, who carries a dowry around on a ship?
Well, maybe he had to go and get it from the family vault.
Yeah, or what if he used her dowry to make this voyage? You know? What if he's a fuck monster also?
A fuck monster. That's the technical term.
Yeah,
a fuck
for being
monster.
An asswipe. Right? So, you know, I mean, what business does he have in using all of his sister's money for marrying to go on a voyage? That's just not okay.
I just always assumed that he was coming back with money in a treasure chest.
Yeah, but don't they live in Vienna?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that's where all their money is.
Well, it should be.
Well, so, yeah. And also, I mean, here's the thing. So I think about this a lot. Mariana and Angelo are engaged. They are engaged because of familial, you know, contract.
It's money.
Or, you know, do they even like each other? Do they
right.
even know
well,
each
she
other?
She seems to really pine
really,
for him,
yeah,
right?
I know,
really
but
pine for
the
him.
Way that he treats her, I wonder if he, if his parents... I wonder if his parents forced the marriage on him.
For money.
For money.
Yeah. Yep. It seems something like that, you know.
Yeah, because he can drop her so easily.
Yeah.
He doesn't really seem to care about her at all.
But we do have this theme also, again, in Merchant of Venice of, you know, Antonio's all of his money going to the bottom of the sea, right? Mm-hmm. Or supposedly. All of his ships that were supposed to pay back this massive debt.
Right.
Going to the bottom of the sea. So...
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe. Ah, I hadn't even thought about that. Maybe it's that the brother is sailing the ship. The ship itself is worth what the dowry is. So he has to come back and sell the ship in order to pay the dowry. But then the ship sinks. Maybe it's that. I don't know.
Or he was, you know, sailing to the Indies and trading and then coming back.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So even though Mariana and Angela were very legally promised to each other, there is also some intimation that something else might have been going on beforehand. The Duke seems to intimate this and leaves us with some open ideas.
Well, when we get there, we'll talk about it because I think we have to hear it in context to be able to, you know, flesh out some ideas.
Right.
Flesh out.
And we keep talking about Dante references throughout the play. And here in Claudio's speech, when he describes what his idea is of dying, you're going to really hear him talk about the punishment of the lustful in Dante. So it's very, very specific and explicit. So it would really behoove you to just take a look at those cantos in Dante that talk about the lustful and the second circle of hell. Mm-hmm. All right. And then he also talks about somebody being imprisoned in thick ribbed ice, which I found out was actually Satan at the bottom. So, you know, really feeling this horrible
Satan at the
culpability.
Bottom. So God has put Satan at the bottom of the circles encased in ice.
Encased from the waist down in ice. So all of his lusty bits. are unreachable.
I'm gonna cool those fuckers off.
I'm gonna cool those nuts off, bubba. Satan, you and your penis will have no more relationship.
You sounded like George W.
Bush.
Or the church lady, I'm not sure which. Anyway, okay, go ahead.
One of those.
Yeah.
And then we've talked so much about shared lines and about what that means for person, you know, interpersonal relationships between those two characters that are sharing lines. Claudio and Isabella are siblings. As far as we know, they are the only siblings. There's no other siblings.
Right, we don't know.
So they are sharing lines throughout. But I found so much disagreement between editors as to which line is shared with which. So we're going to explore a little bit about that. That's a really fascinating piece of the paper, if you're writing a paper on this scene. Yeah. Is how the rhythm changes with different options.
Hmm.
All right?
Yes.
So that's our work for today.
It's going to be a long one.
It's a good one, though. Woohoo! Act 3, Scene 1, A Room in the Prison. Here it comes. I'm going to talk to myself for a little while, but you'll see why it makes sense more later. Okay, so I'm the Duke. So then you hope of pardon from Lord Angelo. Claudio. The miserable have no other medicine but only hope. I've hoped to live and am prepared to die. So he might speak a little bit in verse and then he speaks in prose because he's really uncomfortable with the idea of dying, I think.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah. The Duke. Be absolute for death. Either death or life shall thereby be the sweeter. Reason thus with life. If I do lose thee, I do lose a thing that none but fools would keep. A breath. Thou art servile to all the skyey influences that dost this habitation where thou keep'st hourly afflict.
Skyey.
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 that's a fun one.
S-K-Y-E-Y. Skyee. Yeah. That's really hard to say.
Skyee meaning of the stars.
Yeah, but right? Skyee.
Yeah, definitely sky. Made up by Shakespeare.
He could have said starry, but he said skyee.
All the heavenly bodies, I think, not just the stars, you know, like how they affect us. So he's like, forget about life. Just go for death, okay? And so he's like, this is how you talk to life and reason yourself out of life, all right? It's a little bit awkward, and then he sort of starts in prose, and then he maybe goes into verse right after. Because if I do lose the I do lose a thing is a very
regular
rhythm. I do lose something that nobody but fools would keep. He's trying to make this argument. So you're nothing but a breath that is in service of the stars' influences. That's it. And this habitation is your life. So it the stars' influences hourly afflict your life. So he's like, why do you want to keep it? And then he's going to really flesh out this argument. Merely thou art death's fool. For him thou laborest by thy flight to shun, and yet runst toward him still. So remember what the fool is. The fool is the servant who makes the king laugh. So by implication, death is the king, which is really cool. So he's like, each next breath prolongs the affliction of your life. So you're working in service of death. And when you try to run from him, you make him laugh. Yeah. And you still keep trying to run somehow. I don't know why. So now he's going to enumerate all the things that you are not, that you think you might be. Thou art not noble, for all the accommodations that thou bearest are nursed by baseness.
That's not nice.
Well, it's interesting depending on how you read it. So accommodations, remember Lear, the unaccommodated man, meaning your comforts, your sophistications, your clothing, all of that stuff. Everything that you have is nursed by baseness, means fed by lowly means, but it also might mean gotten upon the labor of the lowest. So like everything that you have gained has been at the expense of some other person.
Oh, okay. I didn't read it like that.
Right.
That's interesting.
So I kind of like that reading.
Yeah.
You know? So he's like, look, life sucks because you, who thinks life is great, have gotten your life, your happy life, by exploiting other people.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But, okay.
This is why this is in verse, and I think it's interesting, is because it actually is some really useful wisdom in some way.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say the Duke.
Yeah, same for him.
Right. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely.
Let's go on.
But maybe he's come to these realizations.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether he does anything with them or not, he's arrived at this knowledge.
So maybe he's talking about himself.
As well. Yeah. Okay. I think every person. And also he's speaking, remember, to the people on the ass cushions.
Right.
Right?
Right.
This is another of these incredible opportunities that Shakespeare is taking advantage of. Not only does he have a noble person, but he has a noble person who's dressed as a religious person who is putting out these ideas.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So you are not noble, period. Thou art by no means valiant, for thou dost fear the soft and tender fork of a poor worm. I love that.
Well, you're not valiant because you're afraid of a worm, because the worm's going to eat you when we put you in the ground.
Yeah, or also, yes, beautiful. I didn't even think of that. The other editor thing says snake. You're afraid of being bitten by a tiny thing, a snake. But I also, you know, a worm is also a dick, so you're afraid of being fucked.
Oh,
so you're not brave. Thy best of rest is sleep, and that thou often provokest, yet grossly fear'st thy death, which is no more. So you're like, the best part of your life is sleeping.
Because you're not afraid.
Because you're not afraid, and you always want to sleep. You provoke it, like you're looking for it. But grossly, stupidly, you're afraid of it, but death is like sleeping. So you're not brave. You're not noble. You're not brave. Thou art not thyself. You're not even yourself. For thou exists on many a thousand grains that issue out of dust. So you were born from a random seed. Grain is a seed. Okay? You had no control over who you were born to be. Happy thou art not, for what thou hast not, still thou strivest to get, and what thou hast, forgettest. So,
well, that's true of all human beings. That's true of all human beings. But I'm getting annoyed with him now. I mean, he's making some interesting points, but
oh yeah, he's strident. He's overdoing it.
He's
for sure.
Overdoing it, and he doesn't seem to be listening to himself. I don't know.
Definitely not. He's not taking his own medicine.
Yes.
He's happy to dispense it.
Right. I dislike him. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he's saying, you know, you're always trying to get things, and whatever you have, you forget about them. Right.
Because once you get something, it's no longer important. You're going on to the next thing to get.
Yeah.
But that's what we all do. That's human nature.
Yeah. Thou art not certain, for thy complexion shifts to strange effects after the moon. So you're never certain. You're never confident. You're never stable. You're never a fixed character. Because your complexion, that means your whole makeup, your physical and mental, you know, makeup, shifts into all kinds of manifestations influenced by the moon, resembling the moon, you know, changing all the time. So it's like you're never comfortable. If thou art rich, thou art poor. For like an ass whose back with ingots bows, thou bear'st thy heavy riches but a journey, and death unloads thee. So you're, you know, resemble a donkey that's swayed back with the weight of the gold, and you're only going to travel a short way your life, and then death is going to unload all that gold. You can't keep it.
So here's...
So it all makes sense, I'm saying.
It does. And this is why I'm concerned that Shakespeare put these words in his mouth. Because if he's trying to have maybe the ass cushions hear some of these messages coming from someone pretending to be someone else and not taking the... You know, not being noble of character and not taking the words to heart themselves as they spew them out their mouths, it sort of loses its validity.
Yeah, but in the same way, I bet you that he's also saying, you people out there say this same shit to other people.
Okay, maybe.
You know?
Maybe, yeah.
You sit in judgment of other people. You tell them how much their life sucks and they shouldn't worry about it. And look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. So... But I bet you also that the people receiving the play at that time looked upon him differently than we do. You know, we look upon him with this huge ick factor because he's definitely so yucky in the way that he's operating. But I bet you they saw nobility and they make a certain judgment already, immediately,
well,
that he's better than he is.
We talk about that. We talk about the exterior seeming.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they see Friar and they make a certain judgment. So they're already very much colored by what they're looking at, you know, whereas you and I wouldn't be in the same way.
Okay.
I like this next. Friend, hast thou none? For thine own bowels, which do call thee sire, the mere effusion of thy proper loins do curse the gout, serpigo, and the rheum for ending thee no sooner. So your own insides, which recognize you as their liege lord, even your spunk, the effusion of your loins, curses you. They curse the sicknesses that haven't taken you yet.
Right. For ending thee no sooner.
Yeah. The gout, serpigo, is a disfiguring skin disease, and rheum is an endless cold, you know,
snotty
snot.
And phlegmy. And...
all the insides of your body are going, why won't you just die of these things, please, and give us a break? So funny. So it's partly humorous, you
it
know?
Is.
Yeah.
Only it's not. Like, it is. It
and it's
is,
horrible.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
The fact that he's saying, oh, God.
Oh,
I
yeah.
just, I keep I going back to the fact that Claudio thinks he's a real.
I know. Yeah.
Friar.
Thou hast nor youth nor age, but as it were an after-dinner's sleep, dreaming on both. For all thy blessed youth becomes as aged, and doth beg the alms of palsied eld. And when thou art old and rich, thou hast neither heat, affection, limb, nor beauty to make thy riches pleasant. So it's like, you're not young, you're not... old, because you waste both of those things. You know, when you're young, you're always chasing after riches. And when you're rich and old, you don't have heat, hot blood, sex power. You don't have passions. You don't have strong limbs to even enjoy any of those things. You can't have sex anymore. So what is the point? What's yet in this that bears the name of life? Yet in this life lie hid more thousand deaths, yet death we fear, that makes these odds all even. So he's like, what's the point? What's the point? We have so many pains in life, and death cancels them out. I love these antitheses, right? We have pain in life, and so death cancels it out.
Odds all even.
Yeah, odds all even. And Claudio finally cuts him off, actually. I humbly thank you. To sue to live, I find I seek to die. And seeking death, find life. Let it come on. So he's like, whatever. Okay.
Maybe the Duke is sort of a Polonius type character in this circumstance.
Right. He won't stop.
He won't stop. He's enjoying the sound of his own voice too much.
Does. Yep. Isabella from behind the wall somewhere.
Right. What ho? Peace here. Grace and good company. Provost. Who's there? Come in. The wish deserves a welcome.
Dear sir, ere long I'll visit you again. That's the Duke making his speedy exit, as he always does.
Garrett!
And Claudio. Most holy sir, I thank you.
My business is a word or two with Claudio, Provost. And very welcome. Look, Signor, here's your sister.
Duke. A provost, a word with you.
As many as you please.
Bring me to hear them speak, where I may be concealed. Ew.
He wants to eavesdrop.
Hide and eavesdrop, yeah. And so, supposedly, Claudio and Isabella left alone on stage. And there's two beats of silence in this line, even though Y is part of Isabella's line, and she adds to his line. But even so, it's only eight. So is it two beats of silence where Claudio is like, and here she comes and, you know, takes a breath before he speaks to her? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe he's trying to pull it together and figure out what he's going to say because he just said he seeks to die because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And now here she is. And
she
maybe
seems
there's
like hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, sister, what's the comfort?
Why, as all comforts are. Most good indeed. Lord Angelo, having affairs to heaven, intends you for his swift ambassador, where you shall be in everlasting leisure. Therefore, your best appointment make with speed. Tomorrow you set on.
Is there no remedy?
None. But such remedy as
yeah,
to...
Let's definitely go back to that.
None.
Yeah.
N-O-N-E-N-U-N.
So she's trying to figure out how to say this.
Yeah, yeah. She's being very
obtuse.
Poetic.
Yes.
In her language here.
Yes.
Swift ambassador.
Yes. So Lord Angelo has business with heaven, affairs to heaven, and he's going to send you there as an ambassador. But I love this. If you're just listening, as I was listening to you, you hear in everlasting leisure, right? You will be perfectly at home forever and ever, you know.
Wow.
Right? But if you look at it on the page, it's an.
Yeah.
So, and something, which is a leisure, is a resident ambassador. Somebody who goes, you know, ambassador from Spain to England and lives there forever.
Yeah.
And just takes the messages of his king and relates them to
That's
the king.
That's so interesting.
So cool, right?
Because if you're listening to the play,
you hear... It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't see it on the page if you're listening to the play, right?
Yeah.
So she's just saying, being Angelo's ambassador to heaven is going to be the best job ever. Therefore, your best appointment, get ready, because tomorrow you're going. And so he's like, wait, what? And he cuts her off, right? And you'll see, he cuts her off, because he's like trying to make sense of what she's making. And when he says, isn't there a way to fix this? And what's her first word?
None.
There's a remedy. It's a nun. But but it's not going to help you.
Right. Okay. All right. So
is there no remedy?
None. But such remedy as to save a head, to cleave a heart in twain.
Good. What's a heart, Erin?
Well, it's a vulva.
Yeah. And that's quite a violent image of having sex. Cleave it in twain means to cut it in half.
Yeah.
It's like the picture that she has of being unvirgined is really ugly.
It's violent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unvirgined, maybe.
Unvirgined, maybe. But it's like this violent image of breaking the hymen and blood spurting out everywhere. And, you know, this is what she's heard about or read or something.
Or is afraid of. I mean, just whatever.
Well, where's their mother?
Where is their mother?
Right?
There's never
Who
a mother.
Who has talked to
her? Oh, there's Bing, 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 Bing. I know it gets talked about all the time. But, you know, you want to write a thesis? Why no mothers in any of the plays?
Yep.
Or where there are mothers, what role do they play?
Right. Lady Capulet, etc.
And also in All's Well That Ends Well.
Well, the Countess.
Well, she's a mother, yeah.
Right. So who has told her is what I'm wondering. You know, who has told Isabella what to expect? Somebody told her something horrible, right?
Or it happened and she knows.
Or it happened and she knows.
Yeah.
So Cleave a Heart and Twain, and he interrupts again. But is there any...
Yes, brother, you may live.
And there's four beats of silence in that line. So I think she's like, fuck, okay, I didn't want to get to this piece. How do I tell him about this, right?
There is a devilish mercy in the judge, if you'll implore it, that will free your life, but fetter you till death.
Perpetual durance?
Perpetual durance. A restraint. All the world's vastidity you had to a disgusting. You didn't come out of my face very well.
I was pushing her button on the top to make her work again.
Perpetual durance, a restraint, though all the world's vastidity you had to a determined scope.
Yeah, okay. So if you'll there's a big if there, right? If you beg for this thing, there's a way. And he assumes it's a life sentence. Perpetual durance is a life. Durance is confinement, so life sentence. And she's like, yes, life sentence, but she means herself.
For herself, right.
Right? Because
but
then
also
she uses the word restraint.
She would also say for him, too, because it's a sin for him to ask her to do this. It's a sin for her to do this. It's a sin for Angelo to request this. Everybody will be punished for this.
Forever.
But
yeah.
Also, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's thinking that he will always remember the means by which he got this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Will he? I don't know. I think he'll go about his little happy business.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still didn't understand, right?
Nope.
But in what nature?
In such a one as you consenting to it would bark your honor from that trunk you bear and leave you naked.
Let me know the point. It's like, for fuck's sake!
Stop
with the metaphors. Bark is strip off, right? It's like making a new boat. You're stripping off the bark and making a new boat to sail in. The trunk is your body.
Yeah.
But then you have the word naked.
Yeah.
Naked.
See, even in this scene, there's sexual imagery
already,
and we're only just a little teeny bit in.
Absolutely.
Oh, I do fear thee, Claudio, and I quake lest thou a feverous life shouldst entertain, and 6 or 7 winters more respect than a perpetual honor. Darest thou die? The sense of death is midden abandoned. Boy, I'm having a hard time to... Darest thou die? The sense of death is most in apprehension, and the poor beetle that we tread upon in corporal sufferance finds a pang as great as when a giant dies.
I like, oh, I do fear thee.
Mm-hmm.
She already knew what he would choose.
Of course.
Yeah, even though that whole last speech of hers, she's like, oh, he's so noble, he will definitely never let his sister
do
this thing.
Yeah, but I think that was, we talked about
that.
It was
her talking herself into that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm afraid because you're a feverous life, is a hot and sweaty life, you know, full of sex, that you will entertain, that you'll prefer it.
That you would respect 6 or 7 sweaty sexual winters more than being in a perpetual state of grace.
Yeah. But I think also by perpetual honor, she probably means hers. You will not weigh my honor against your sweaty, sexy life in the same way that I do. And can you, come on, darest thou? It's like a challenge, you know? And then she's making this argument that corporal suffering is the same in a giant body as it is in a tiny beetle. Like, it's the
And you step on beetles all the time.
Yeah. The sense of death is in apprehension. So, like, the feeling of death is really only in the anticipation. You don't know what it's going to... It's just going to be a quick thing.
Boom.
Whack.
Over.
A little axe. Boom. Done. It's over. And Claudio, why give you me this shame? Shame is plus two. This shame plus two line. Shared with two extra syllables.
And. What? Which shame?
Yeah.
Right? There's multiple shames here.
Mm-hmm. There's some problems here for both these people.
Yeah.
Think you I can a resolution fetch from flowery tenderness? Fuckity fuck fuck.
Stop talking in poems.
Yeah. It's not going to help me. If I must die, I will encounter darkness as a bride and hug it in mine arms.
Okay, so die, orgasm,
yeah.
Right? So bride, die.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm gonna hug it. Death will be a bride to me if it has to be that way. And hug it in mine arms, and we have four beats of silence. And this is where Isabella's like, ah, good.
There spake my brother. There my father's grave did utter forth a voice. Yes, thou must die. Thou art too noble to conserve a life in base appliances. This outward sainted deputy, whose settled visage and deliberate word nips youth in the head and follies doth anew as falcon doth the fowl, is yet a devil. His filth within being cast, he would appear a pond as deep as hell.
Ooh.
So all she's right. Beginning to tell him what happened.
What is happening? Yeah. So, yes, you're gonna die because that's the only choice. So, and she brings back your two noble to keep, conserve, by base appliances by lowly strategies. So, like, you're not going to scheme and plot to save your own life.
Because our father wouldn't have done that.
He wouldn't have done that. And now you're sounding like Dad. I'm so proud of you. So then this outward sainted deputy, he looks like a saint on the outside, this guy, but she didn't say his name yet.
Nope.
Whose settled visage, composed and unaltering face, right? He's just calm and he speaks deliberately, but he's like a dangerous, dangerous creature. So the next thing is images of falconry, nips youth in the head and folly doth anew. Falcons, if you don't know anything about falconry, they actually fly above their prey and then they go into a free fall dive and smack their prey on the head. So that's nips youth in the head. And follies doth anew. In ew is French for on o, into the water, and they throw them into the water. And that's how they kill them. Mm. It's really cool. So he's like, she's talking about, he does this, like he's taking away all the joy of your life, as a falcon does. But then, his filth within being cast. Cast is like, yeah.
Like fishing cast.
Like fishing, but it's also like casting up, like vomiting, like... exposing something, throwing it out, you know, cast upon the shore.
Yes.
For instance. Mm-hmm. He would appear a pond as deep as hell. So if you dredged the pond that is this man, you would see that it goes all the way to hell.
Mm.
Okay. And this image is repeated in Merchant of Venice when Graziano talks about men whose visages are creamed and mantled like a standing pool. Like, you don't know what's going on behind their face because they're trying to pretend to be wise.
Yeah.
So they keep their face very neutral. Yeah? So
yeah.
This is the image of Angela. But that what's behind him is so, so horrible.
Yeah.
And Claudio goes to the name. The Prenzi Angelo? And this is a word that they say Shakespeare made up because it doesn't have any precedent. But it kind of, it means proxy. But maybe it comes from apprentice.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a plus two.
Yep. Angelo.
Oh, 'tis the cunning livery of hell, that danced body to invest and cover in frenzy guards. Dost thou think, Claudio, if I would yield him my virginity, thou mightst be freed?
Oh, heavens, it cannot be.
Yes. He would give it thee from this rank offense. So to offend him still. This night's the time that I should do what I abhor to name, or else thou diest tomorrow.
Okay. So finally she gets to the point.
Yeah, she says it.
Finally. Livery is the clothing that certain people follow, you know, who are following a certain person wear so that you can identify them mm-hmm. as Capulets, Montagues, whatever you are. And I love the word invest.
Yes.
To actually put into a vest. The damnedest body to invest
uh-huh.
and cover. Guards are also trimmings, coverings. So he shouldn't have that, what he's wearing, because he doesn't deserve it.
Right.
All right. And then Claudia's shocked at the first one. Mm. And she's like, yeah, yeah, right? Shocking, right? Like, she thinks they're on the same page here, right? Rank offense, foul offense. So to offend him still. So she's saying he would give you back your life from this exchange of this foul thing so that you could continue to offend him
mm-hmm.
by doing the same fucking deed over and over. Or it's also Angelo will have then done this deed and that will offend himself.
Yeah, yes.
So it's not going to be good for anybody. And then tonight, and she uses the word abhor. And she says, I can't name it, but she uses the word abhor, just like Desdemona. Abhor to do this thing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I a whore? It does abhor me now. I speak the word. And then, so here's an instance of where is the shared line exactly? Because, or else thou diest tomorrow is 7 beats. Thou shalt not do it is 4. So that would make that a +1 if it's shared with that one. Or thou shalt not do't is 4 beats. Oh, were it but my life is 6. So what I think is interesting is, or else thou diest tomorrow. 3 beats of silence,
yes.
Right? And because he's like, oh, fuck.
What am I doing here? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That gives him a moment to think about and realize what it is she's saying. That she's saying she's not willing to exchange a little fucking for his entire life.
Yeah.
So he's
yeah.
like, thou shalt not do it. And she
oh,
jumps
it's a
in,
discovery.
Right?
Discovery.
Yeah.
Ah, instead of him wow. saying, no, I won't let that happen.
Right. So if you share it with the top one, it's like him jumping in and going, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
But if you don't share it with the top one, it's like him going, oh, fuck,
you're
not
going to
do it. And then she has cause to jump in and say, if it was my life, I would absolutely do it. But it's my virginity.
Right.
So she's putting more of a price on her virginity than her life.
Yeah, but her life isn't in jeopardy, so it's a
right.
little different.
But she's definitely putting more of a price on her virginity than on his life.
Yes.
Which is really shocking and horrible to him especially.
Yeah.
That's why I like that share instead.
Yeah, I get it. I get
Makes
it.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Oh, were it but my life, I'd throw it down. There's another one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, were it but my life, I'll throw it down for your deliverance as frankly as a pin.
Thanks, dear Isabel.
So if you read it as thou shalt not...
And he's like,
oh,
really?
Yeah, great.
Thanks a lot.
Fabulous, because your
yeah.
life's not in danger.
Uh-huh. And also the pin thing, Lucio brought that in, right? He's like, you're arguing about his life as if you would argue about nothing, a pin.
Oh, so maybe she pulls that back in from
yeah.
him, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like... pulling the things in her, going through her card catalog in her
right.
mind. Oh, Lucio said that. I might
use that. Yeah.
This is why I don't think she's entirely a good person.
No.
Be ready, Claudio, for your death tomorrow.
Yes. Has he affections in him that thus can make him bite the law by the nose when he would force it? Sure, it is no sin, or of the deadly 7, it is the least.
Which is the least?
If it were damnable, he being so wise, why would he for the momentary trick be perjurably fined? Oh, Isabel!
What says my brother?
Death is a fearful thing.
And shamed life a hateful.
Yeah, there's an interesting, all right? So it seems like he's thinking about it. Like
yeah,
he's trying
figuring
to
it out in his head.
It out. So he's talking about Angelo. Has he affections? Does he have passions that can let him just mock the law, bite the law by the nose, when he would force it? I love the word force, where he would enforce the law, but also enforce this rape.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's reasoning it out. It must not be a sin. It can't be a sin if he's going to let himself do it. And Isabel's like, wait a minute. I lost track of this now. And he's like, momentary trick. I love that. You know, that's fucking. Why would he be perjurably fine? Why would he let his soul be eternally punished if this was so bad as he says?
Yes.
And then he's like, wait a minute, Isabel, I think I have an idea. You know?
And she's like,
But I like that she says, what says my brother? Because she said, there spake my brother before. Death is a fearful thing. And he's like, death is fucking scary.
And shamed life a hateful
time. There's some different readings of that line, too, I think.
Oh, let's look.
So I think her shamed life would be hateful to her, right? Uh-huh. But if he's suggesting what she thinks he's suggesting, he's shameful and she hates him right now.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah.
So it could be two different things, a good choice for an actress. Mm-hmm. And then him, and this is a beautiful speech, really interesting. And it's in contrast to the Duke's speech because he's talking about life. He wants life. Aye, but to die and go we know not where. So there goes your Christian ideal out the window, right? It's like, I don't know where I'm actually going to go.
Yeah.
To lie in cold obstruction and to rot, this sensible warm motion to become a kneaded clod and the delighted spirit to bathe in fiery floods or to reside in thrilling region of thick-ribbed ice, to be imprisoned in the viewless winds and blown with restless violence round about the pendant world, or to be worse than worst of those that lawless and uncertain thought imagine howling, 'tis too horrible.
Let's go. He's got more.
He's got a little more. Yeah. So to lie in cold obstruction in the darkness, obstruction is not being able to see, but it's also the stopping of your blood. Right.
You're dead. There's nothing moving in you anymore, and you're rotting.
Yeah. This sensible and warm motion, this is the body that's full of life and blood flowing.
To become a piece of dirt.
But I love this. And the delighted spirit. Okay. Riverside Shakespeare? I'm looking at you. They were like, why is it the delighted spirit now? And they had all these question marks and they weren't sure about this word. And I'm like, delighted. The light has been taken out.
Yeah.
Right? It's extinguished. This spirit is now nothing.
Well, that would be very Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm.
D.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So now here comes the real imagery of Dante's hell. Bathe in fiery floods. There's like rivers of fire. Or thrilling region of thick-ribbed ice. That's the very bottom.
Thrilling is not good. Thrilling in this case is cold. It's
horribly cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in Dante's hell, as we said, Satan is stuck in the lake of ice at the bottom. So he's imagining that picture. Or now, this is the circle of the lustful, imprisoned in the viewless winds. So viewless because you can't see the air, but also viewless because you don't get to see your beloved. Yeah. Blown with never resting, right? Restless, violent, around the pendant world, the world that's hanging in space, and you're just blown around and around it. Mm. Or worse than that, to be thought, you know, for people, the people that you left behind, to imagine what a horrible howling spirit you are now in hell because of the terrible things that you've committed. Right?
That's a bad argument, that last one. That's not good, Claudio.
He's like, not only would I die and go to I don't know where and be rewarded for my sins with these awful things, but even the memory of me will be horrible.
Right, but that's you're never going to escape that at this point because you committed the sin.
Yeah.
But
I think he's thinking of Juliet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right?
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, no, but it's like him thinking about what is there left of me.
He's not going to redeem himself no matter what. He already did the thing. Anyway, that's very Calvinist of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weariest and most loathed worldly life that age, ache, penury, and imprisonment can lay on nature is a paradise to what we fear of death.
Wow. So anything is better than being dead.
Anything. Penuries, extreme poverty. Anything. Imprisonment. Everything is better than dying.
Yeah. To what we fear of death.
To what I fear of dying.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Alas.
Right. So this is another example of the shared lines that are could go a number of different ways. All right? So I don't think that Isabella would say alas, alas after thinking about it.
No, I think she's responding to the fact that he's in a state.
Yeah.
I think alas, alas is about how worked up he's getting.
Yeah, because those four beats fill in to what we fear of death. And his last word is death.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So some editors share this with the next line, but I think it just doesn't make sense. So again, you have four beats of silence then. And I think it's Claudio's, just like it was above, where he got the opportunity to lay out his argument because he had time to think. And so here is the same. He knows he's got her now because she's in sympathy with him after that speech, which was not premeditated, by the way, remember. So he's not a calculating, scheming little demon.
No, and before she came in, he said as much. He said, I'm ready for death.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Then he sees her and he's like, no, I'm not ready for it.
And he's like, no, somebody can help me maybe. It's an absolutely natural human reaction, right?
Of course.
Of course. So he has four beats of silence to let him think about this. Or he can say this thing, and then there are four beats of silence, and she doesn't respond, and so he continues. Either way, there's some choices here for Claudio. Sweet sister, let me live. What sin you do to save a brother's life? Nature dispenses with the deed so far that it becomes a virtue. Okay, but now he's making the argument that Angelo made.
Same argument.
Shit. And
it
so now
it won't be on your account.
It won't be on your account, right? Sin equals virtue in this. So he just said trigger words for her.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Right? Nature dispenses. Nature's gonna excuse you. It's gonna be fine.
It'll go in Angelo's ledger.
Yeah.
Oh, you beast. Oh, faithless coward. Oh, dishonest wretch. Wilt thou be made a man out of my vice? Is't not a kind of incest to take life from thine own sister's shame? What should I think? Heaven shield my mother, played my father fair, for such a warped slip of wilderness ne'er issued from his blood. Take my defiance. Let's stop there.
Okay. Whoa. So, oh, you beast, you almost had me, you fucker. Right? He's a coward. He's a wretch.
Faithless coward.
Yes, right.
Saying that a sin is virtue.
Equals virtue, right?
Yeah.
And also to say we go not where.
Right.
We know not where, right?
Right.
Yeah. Don't you believe in heaven?
Don't
you
see
believe
my
in God's mercy?
My nun costume here, motherfucker?
Yeah. Incredible line, wilt thou be made a man out of my vice? Made, we have M-A-I-D also right in there. But it's also like you're gaining a life from my thing, my sin. It's almost like he's born from her. If that's not incest, nothing is.
Yeah, but also,
right?
also wilt thou be made a man? What was I just thinking?
Okay.
Yeah. What were you going to say? Because maybe it's what I was thinking because it's gone from me now that you said that.
I was just going to say, wouldn't that be an interesting measure for measure if Isabella was a lot older and Claudio a lot younger and that he could maybe be her baby?
Yikes.
Oh, my God.
He's not a man right now.
Right. So you're gonna saddle me with this shame.
Oh, right. You get to be a man and I get to be a fallen woman.
Yeah. That's a bad deal.
Yeah, it's a bad deal.
And then this is incredible, right? So heaven shield my mother played my father fair. Heaven forbid that my mother actually was true to my father because you can't possibly be from my father.
Right.
You ain't my brother. Because, oh, I love this, warped slip of wilderness. Warped is deviating, and slip of wilderness.
See?
We've had this word slip a bunch of times, right? You know?
Yeah.
So it says, and the editors say, it's a shoot from the stock. It's a single sperm, okay? The sperm that made you, my man.
Did not come from
did
daddy.
Did not come from my daddy. Ne'er issued from his blood. Never, never. And then take my defiance, amazing. Declaration of war.
Yeah.
Rejection. Die. Not only die, but like every memory of you just be wiped out.
Yeah. Die. perish. Might but my bending down reprieve thee from thy fate, it should proceed. I'll pray 1,000 prayers for thy death. No word to save thee.
Nay, hear me, Isabel!
Oh, fie! Fie, fie! Thy sin's not accidental, but a trade!
So, go to this, after this.
But my bending down.
I will not bend over for you.
Yeah.
And or even bow. My bending down might be a bow, but, you know, you think it's such a small thing, but, right? But
yeah.
It's just a little thing.
Might but my bending down reprieve thee from thy fate. It should proceed.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Your fate is your fate, and I will not even say a word to save you. Now, this is incredible. So it's, you know, again, shared line. What's shared with what? No word to save thee. Would Claudio leave silence there before he says, nay, hear me, Isabel? I don't think so.
No, he has to jump right in.
And then would Isabella leave silence?
No!
Right? So, oh, fi, fi, fi. So if this is a triple shared line, it's a 15-beat line.
The fucks get the fucks get the
fuck,
emphasis.
Fuck, fuck, for the nun to say fuck gets the extra beats.
Yeah.
Tyson's not accidental. It's your profession.
Right.
You having sex, you dirty
right.
John.
It's not like you're not going to, like, if I save you, you're going to keep living this way, and I'm going to be wrecked, and you're going to keep sinning.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Mercy to thee would prove itself a bawd. 'Tis best thou diest quickly.
Oh, hear me, Isabella.
So, mercy to thee would prove itself a pimp.
Yeah.
Right? I would just be getting you more and more opportunities to dip your dick.
Yeah. And get who knows who pregnant, for fuck's sake. For fuck's sake. So, I hope you die immediately.
Yeah.
Jesus. And the Duke comes running in. He's like, okay, all right, this has gone long enough, but keep in mind that he's seen all of this. Duke, vouchsafe a word, young sister, but one word.
What is your will?
So from here on, the rest of the scene is in prose.
And I think, so she has to pull it together because he's higher in status than she is, even as a friar. She's not a nun yet. But even if she were a nun and he were a priest, he'd still have higher status than her.
Yep, of course he does. Every lowly monk has higher status than any nun.
So I think she's got to pull it together in that line. And it's hard because she's just said, I hope you die, motherfucker. And then she's got to say, yes, father.
What do you want? But I like, what is your will?
Yeah.
Are you coming in with your dick slinging for?
Exactly.
Right?
And that's why I said it the way I said it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Oh, my
another
God.
Man.
Nah.
Another man. Claiming me.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
Duke. Might you dispense with your leisure? I would by and by have some speech with you. The satisfaction I would require is likewise your own benefit.
Satisfaction.
I know. He's turned on by this whole ugly thing, I think.
God.
But he's just saying, if you can just hang out for a minute, I want to talk to you. And you will be rewarded for talking to me.
I have no superfluous leisure. My stay must be stolen out of other affairs. But I will attend you a while.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't have time for this motherfucker!
Yeah.
But you're a priest, all right, fine.
Right. Leisure? Like, I'm not somebody who just kind of lies around and does nothing and eat bonbons. I'm, you know, whatever time I spend with you is borrowed from something else.
Yeah.
So it says she walks apart. That means she moves to the side. And the Duke talks to Claudio now. Son, I have overheard what hath passed between you and your sister. Angelo had never the purpose to corrupt her, only he hath made an assay of her virtue to practice his judgment with the disposition of natures.
Mm-hmm. Why would he say that?
Yeah, because he's like trying to let Angelo still be a good guy.
So Angelo's just testing
because
her.
Because he's his representative. So he never had the intention, the purpose. He's just making an assay, a test of her virtue, to practice his judgment with the disposition of natures. So to do some research on the way that people react under pressure.
Oh, God,
what the fuck? That's not okay either anyway. She, having the truth of honor in her, hath made him that gracious denial which he is most glad to receive.
Yeah, right.
So she's got the grace of God, right, and integrity, truth of honor, and Angelo's happy that she said no. I am confessor to Angelo, and I know this to be true. Therefore, prepare yourself to death. Do not satisfy your resolution with hopes that are fallible. Tomorrow you must die. Go to your knees and make ready.
Okay, so, I mean, lie.
Yeah. Hopes that are fallible, frail hopes. Your hopes have no basis. Just get down on your knees and pray and get ready. And Claudio's just like... Let me ask my sister pardon. I am so out of love with life that I will sue to be rid of it. So I will ask for death. I promise. I just need to speak to my sister, but he doesn't get the chance. And it's like the Duke is pushing him out the door. Mm. Hold you there. Farewell. So he's like, yep. Off you go. Provost, a word with you.
What's your will, Father?
That now you are come, you will be gone. Leave me a while with the maid. My mind promises with my habit. No loss shall touch her by my company.
I won't violate her while I'm alone with her, unsupervised. Yeah.
Because, obviously, my habit, my friar's robe, shows that I'm a
good guy. Obviously, because priests never touch other people against their will. Mm-hmm. Mm.
But the provost?
In good time.
And off he goes. Duke and Isabella left alone. The hand that hath made you fair hath made you good. The goodness that is cheap in beauty makes beauty brief in goodness. But grace, being the soul of your complexion, shall keep the body of it ever fair. So beautiful people don't spare too much time to be good because they rely on their looks to get them what they want. But you are both beautiful and gracious. So you will be always beautiful. The assault that Angelo hath made to you, fortune hath conveyed to my understanding, and but that frailty hath examples for his falling, I should wonder at Angelo. So
I just hate him so much.
Sorry.
I mean, so do you think this is the moment when he says this stuff about beauty is where he really looks at her and goes...
He has the same reaction as Angelo.
As all men.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks at her and he's like, oh, yeah.
Because his very first line about the satisfaction will be to also to your good, he's already imagining that he, spoiler, he's going to ask her to marry him. But
he doesn't ask her.
Really, he doesn't ask her.
He tells her.
Yep. He tells her, you're marrying me. Yeah.
And she never says yes.
And she doesn't get the chance.
Okay. We just spoiled the whole ending.
Sorry.
Whatever.
Sorry. So the assault... It's almost as if the rape has already happened.
Well, it is an assault.
Yeah. And depending on how you stage that scene, there could be partly an assault. You know? I somehow found out about it. Somehow. Uh-huh. But, you know, there are so many examples of men doing these things that I can't even begin to wonder why Angelo did it, because men just always do it, right?
And he says that because that's how he thinks.
Mm-hmm. So... Now he has a direct question for her. How will you do to content this substitute and to save your brother?
I'm now going to resolve him. I had rather my brother die by the law than my son should be unlawfully born. But oh, how much is the good Duke deceived in Angelo? If ever he return and I can speak to him, I will open my lips in vain or discover his government. Lips.
Oh, my lips. My lips. My labia. So I will do the same with the Duke, as I claim to do with Angelo, right? I will have to talk to that Duke about this guy and discover is expose.
Yes.
His government is both his form of government, but also his conduct.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Duke like, that shall not be much amiss. I like that. Amiss. Then you won't be amiss.
Yeah.
You won't be a virgin anymore. That'll be good. Okay. Yet, as the matter now stands, he will avoid your accusation. He made trial of you only. Therefore, fasten your ear on my advisings. To the love I have in doing good, a remedy presents itself. I do make myself believe that you may most uprighteously do a poor wronged lady a merited benefit, redeem your brother from the angry law, do no stain to your own gracious person, and much please the absent duke, if peradventure he shall ever return to have hearing of this business.
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, let's go back. All right.
So he will avoid your... He's going to get around it by saying that he was only testing you. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I love... Therefore, fasten your ear. Ear is Elizabethan slang for vagina. Just saying.
yes, the ass cushions here, you know. So then listen to me.
Listen to me. My but instructions, the, my advisings.
The groundlings are like, woohoo! Put your vagina on him!
He wants to get in her pussy.
Yeah.
So I love doing good, and so I've found out a remedy. I think that you can uprighteously, I love that, standing, not lying down, do something good for someone. A poor wronged lady, some unnamed lady who has earned, merited this benefit. She has earned it. You can save your brother, you don't have to do anything bad for your own self, and you're going to make the Duke happy. If he ever returns any chance.
Yeah. Let me hear you speak farther. I have spirit to do anything that appears not foul in the truth of my spirit.
Virtue is bold and goodness never fearful. Good job. Right. Have you not heard speak of Mariana, the sister of Frederick the Great Soldier, who miscarried at sea?
There's pregnancy language again.
Yeah. There's for your paper, pregnancy language in Measure for Measure. So this is one of the words that makes me think that there's something funny about what's happening with Mariana, okay? Mm. So Mariana and her brother, Frederick, who miscarried, meaning was lost at sea.
Mm-hmm. Isabella, I have heard of the lady, and good words went with her name.
She, should this Angelo have married, was affianced to her by oath, and the nuptial appointed, between which time of the contract and limit of the solemnity, her brother Frederick was wrecked at sea, having in that perished vessel the dowry of his sister. Okay, so affianced by oath is a particular kind of a public announcement. We talked about those stages of preparing for a marriage, and they had a very legal, very public announcement that they were getting married that involved either person being able to cancel this out for proved reasons. Okay? Yeah. So it's a very particular kind of bans. The limit of the solemnity, the finalizing, her brother's ship went down with her dowry in it. But mark how heavily this befell to the poor gentlewoman. There she lost a noble and renowned brother, in his love toward her ever most kind and natural. With him, the portion and sinew of her fortune, her marriage dowry, with both her combinate husband, this well-seeming Angelo.
Huh.
Okay, so she lost, he's saying, a noble and renowned brother.
Yeah.
In his love toward her, most kind and natural.
Natural.
Natural is a tricky word because maybe he took advantage of that love. The portion and sinew, the strength of her fortune, her marriage dowry went down. And with all of that, what went down was her combinate husband, the man who was bound by oath to her.
Right.
This well-seeming Angelo.
Jen Isabel loves that. Mm-hmm. Can this be so? Did Angelo so leave her?
Left her in her tears, and dried not one of them with his comfort. Swallowed his vows whole, pretending in her discoveries of dishonor. In few, bestowed her on her own lamentation, which she yet wears for his sake. And he, a marble to her tears, is washed with them, but relents not.
So he claimed she was dishonest. In other words,
yeah.
she had...
He alleged that she was unchaste.
Unchaste, yes.
Right? That she had
which
sex.
So that's just gross.
Mm-hmm.
That's just gross.
Well,
whether he did it or not.
He did it? Maybe he did it?
He was just trying to find a way to get the hell out of the marriage because he wasn't going to get the money.
Yep.
What does that say about this upstanding citizen?
Yeah. He sucks. And maybe he could allege those things because he himself did it.
Maybe.
Like, and maybe because she was pregnant, and maybe, therefore, the word miscarried, you know?
Yeah.
So, is he punishing Claudio unduly because this represents exactly the sin that he did.
Hmm. Well, they do say the things that we are annoyed by most in other people are the things that we ourselves do that annoy us subconsciously.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. So he left her to cry, and he's a marble, right? He's unmoved by her tears. There's that image again of his face that doesn't change.
What a merit were it in death to take this poor maid from the world. What corruption in this life that it will let this man live. But how out of this can she avail?
That's so sad that it's like, wouldn't it be great if death just takes her?
Yeah, it would be better for her.
Yeah, but like, it's not even her fault.
Nope.
None of it.
Nope. But, you know, Isabella is a little, she's a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, she's a little weird.
Very black and white.
Yeah.
I love these antitheses, right? Merit and corruption,
mm-hmm.
right? Good thing.
Death
thing.
And life.
Death and life. Yeah, beautiful. So, or else, you know, how can she be helped by my present situation? It is a rupture that you may easily heal. And the cure of it not only saves your brother, but keeps you from dishonor in doing it.
Show me how, good father.
This forenamed maid hath yet in her the continuance of her first affection. His unjust unkindness, that in all reason should have quenched her love, hath, like an impediment in the current, made it more violent and unruly. So she still loves him.
Unjust unkindness.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard
she
to
still
say,
loves
but
him.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, and it should have done away with her love, but like an impediment, like a rock in a rushing stream, it makes it more crazy.
Yeah, okay? More violent.
Yeah.
More unruly.
So here's the solution. Go you to Angelo. Answer his requiring with a plausible obedience. Agree with his demands to the point. Only refer yourself to this advantage. First, that your stay with him may not be long, that the time may have all shadow and silence in it, and the place answer to convenience. So go give him a believable reason that you're going to say yes, okay? To the point. I like his pointy penis, all right? But you're going to say, I'm not going to stay long.
It has to be dark.
It has to be dark. And I get to choose the place.
Yep.
Okay? This being granted in course, and now follows all, we shall advise this wronged maid to stead up your appointment. Go in your place. If the encounter acknowledge itself hereafter, it may compel him to her recompense. And here, by this, is your brother saved, your honor untainted, the poor Mariana advantaged, and the corrupt deputy scaled.
Okay, so as much as I hate the Duke, mm-hmm. and I think he's a disgusting fellow,
mm-hmm.
And I think bed tricks are gross because,
yeah.
you know, that's like, you know, unconsensual, non-consensual sexual activity.
Yeah. For the man, which is interesting.
Yes, but at the same time, I do kind of love him just in this speech.
Just for this conjuring up of this little trick.
Well, I mean, you know, he's like
I can fix all the things.
Well, I'm not even thinking about it like that. I'm thinking about like, oh, Angelo has called me the Duke of Dark Corners.
Mm-hmm. No, Lucio.
Oh, okay, but also Angelo believes the Duke has not done a good
right.
job, right? So he's like, I'll show
I'm
you
gonna
justice.
Catch him.
I'll show you justice.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some justice for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, high and mighty piece of doo-doo.
Yeah. So I think the Duke does not care to enforce the laws, but he likes to see punishments happen.
Because he's a sadist.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Angelo is a sadist. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that's all. That's
yeah.
all I got.
So, stead up. She's going to go instead of you to in your place, right? So this is a convention in Shakespeare's plays known as the bed trick, as Aaron called it.
How many it happens in All's Well That Ends Well? It happens in Measure
here.
For Measure. Does it happen anywhere else?
Well, there's an elaborate bed trick in Midsummer Night's Dream, right? Where everybody's
there's
switched
that, and
around.
Also there's an attempted bed trick in Oh my God, my brain is fried.
as you like it.
Benedict and Beatrice.
Oh, Much Ado About Nothing.
Much Ado About Nothing. There's that because they get What's-Her-Face to be in the window,
yeah,
and
pretend.
It looks like, so it's like an attempted bed trick or a...
Shaming bite.
Yeah. There are a couple of those.
Yeah. So I wonder how many copycat ones there were after that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But I like this. Yeah. If the encounter acknowledges itself hereafter. So if it comes to light later, it might force him to marry her, which is also a little side benefit. And then I like the corrupt deputy scaled, which is surmounted. Ahem. The maid will I frame and make fit for his attempt. If you think well to carry this, as you may, the doubleness of the benefit defends the deceit from reproof. What think you of?
Again, another
da-da,
one.
Da-da, da-da.
Okay, but okay. So yeah, it's kind of a sin, but it's actually a good sin. So don't worry about it. Like that is the third guy to say this to her.
Yeah. But at least this one doesn't involve her having to spread her legs.
Right.
Someone else is going to do that.
Right.
So what do you think? I like this doubleness, and it's all these D's, double dealing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's going to defend deceit from reproof. So our little lie will get defended because it's going to do a good thing. I saw Mark Rylance play the Duke once, and he really played him like this. You know, like he's just making it up on the spot and just... Which he is. You got to remember that, right?
Right?
So he's not just spewing all this shit. He's just coming up with it. And he's like, what do you think?
And she says, the image of it gives me content already.
Content. My cunt is happy.
And I trust it will grow to a most prosperous perfection. Grow to.
Yeah.
Penis prosperous perfection.
Tell me your language is insexual.
Totally sexual.
And Duke Vincentio, it lies much in your holding up. Oh, my goodness. He's imagining her taking him in hand, shall we say. Haste you speedily to Angelo. If for this night he entreat you to his bed, give him promise of satisfaction. I will presently to St. Luke's. There at the moated grange resides this dejected Mariana. At that place call upon me and dispatch with Angelo, that it may be quickly. So he's like, okay, great.
Let's do it.
You're going to, this is all depends on your deception, right? You're holding up. I'm going to go.
But so here we go again, right? Asking her to lie.
Yeah.
Lying is a sin.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I like that lie.
Yeah, but you're exchanging one sin for another.
But
you're still going to hell,
this
woman.
This is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Measure for measure.
Right. What level of sin are you comfortable with?
Ay, ay, ay. Okay.
Grange is a country house, just so you know. So this is where Mariana lives, at the moated grange. So go talk to Angelo and then come find me over there.
I thank you for this comfort. Fare you well, good father.
Good father, my eye. That's the end of it.
Right. So, my eye. The very Catherine Hepburn of you.
my eye.
Yeah. This is why I say she's no nun.
No.
She's no nun.
There are no good people in this play.
Blah.
Yeah.
Blah.
Which makes it, you know, fun and also realistic and also... why we can all uncomfortably see ourselves up on stage.
What sins are we comfortable with?
Right.
And how comfortable are we with interfering in other people's lives? And how comfortable are we with pointing fingers? And where does the law fall in reality of life? You know. The law says you can't eat that apple that's on that tree over there, but you're starving and your children are starving and the tree doesn't belong to you. You take the apple so you can give it to your child who's starving. That's stealing and you get put in prison.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so it's really interesting what level, you know, that we can all, sitting out here on the chairs, decide which would we be more comfortable with actually is, you know, spreading our legs or lying. Some people would say, I'm not a lying person. I can't lie.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd rather do this other thing.
Yeah, right. Right. Right? Oh, yeah, just do it. Get it over with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, well, we are in hell now. Mm-hmm. And boiling in this pit of darkness.
I hope you can't hear that I've been moving around this whole time because I can't get comfortable and it's
sweating
so hot.
Away.
All right. Well, we love you.
We're saying bye now. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, fuck Shakespeare.
Fuck Shakespeare. Bye.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.